Amen. That's one of my favorite men's groups from Sacred Music Services, and I appreciate that great number tonight. Just a reminder for our church family as well that we do have the electronic formatted bulletin, and that will be sent out every Sunday morning, and then each and every Wednesday afternoon, early evening, you'll also be available. It will also we will be providing the electronic formatted prayer list, and so you'll receive that via email. Again, if you're not receiving that, and you're a part of our church family, we'd love for you to just call into the church office and make sure we have the correct email address, and we'd be able to get you on to that list, and you'd be receiving both the bulletin and the prayer list each and every week. If you would, take your Bibles tonight and go with me to John chapter 14 as we continue to work our way through these final lessons from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share some great truths from this section of the Word of God, and I pray that this will be a help to you, especially in this day in which we find ourselves. And so if you would, go with me to John 14 and verse number 16. John 14 and verse number 16, we begin reading, "The Lord says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." We want to look at this passage of Scripture and consider the promises of God tonight. Let's pray and ask God's blessings upon our time in this passage of Scripture. Father in heaven, thank you so very much for the opportunity to join together with our church family tonight. I know that we are many miles apart, and we are dealing with some very difficult things in both the history of our nation and the history of our church. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be near and dear to each family at this time, and that you bless and watch over our folks and our nation through this great trial. I pray for the leadership of our nation, for all of the men and women that have the votes and the leadership designations. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless and direct in every step that they take. We pray that wise decisions would be made for us, and that each one would be protected. We pray for these different cities and states that are so adversely affected by the virus, and we pray that you'd watch over and bless in those areas. We pray for the many churches that are there in these states. We pray for the many believers that are there. We pray that you'd use them as witnesses and salt, as it is in these cities, as the main need of mankind is not physical healing, but spiritual healing. We pray, Father, that you would direct in the needs of our church family. We pray for those that have lost employment because of the virus and the effect upon businesses. Lord, we pray that you'd sustain them. We pray that you provide other avenues by which they can earn their living and be able to provide for their families. Lord, we pray for those that have family members and friends that are affected, and we just pray that you bless and watch over each of them right now. We pray for so many of our first responders and medical professionals, Lord. We pray that you minister to them tonight, protect them as they serve in hospitals and offices alike. And Lord, we pray that you'd watch over and guide in their ministry to people physically. Pray that you give them the right words to say, and we pray that you'd mightily use them through this time. Lord, now would you bless our time of Bible study tonight? I pray that it'd be a blessing to each one that's tuning in. And again, we thank you for the wide variety of folks that have responded and demonstrated appreciation for the ministry of the Word of God. Thank you for this song tonight and just contemplating the greatness of our God and how he can care for his children through the most difficult of times. Bless in this time of the scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tonight, as you reflect on your ability to interact with your children, perhaps they were younger and at different times you would say something like this to them at one point or another. You'd make a statement to them like this: I promise that we're going to go, and then you'd fill that blank in with some type of destination. And so you'd say to your kids, I promise that we're going to go and do this. And then perhaps it would rain and it would cancel your plans, or there'd be some kind of snowstorm and it would cancel plans. And you made a promise to your youngster and you said, I promise that we're going to go do this, but then something changed the nature of that promise. We're in a situation as finite human beings where we would make promises and attempt to fulfill those promises all the time. So often as our children look up to us, they say, Dad, can I go to the playground, or can I go to King's Dominion, or can I go and do this? Can I go to the ball game, or perhaps the professional game? Can I go to these different things? And we'd make promises, and we'd say, I promise that we'll do thus and so. And then no doubt, something would come up, and it would change the nature of what we could do. We as humans are looking at it from our perspective, and we're making a promise to our children about an item. But it's from a finite perspective. And so there are times where we've made that promise and then we can't fulfill that promise. But there's a difference in the promises that Almighty God makes and the promises that we see here in John chapter 14 than the promises that we make even to our own children. Do we love our kids? Of course. Do we want to fulfill all those promises? Of course. Do we just want to make it a habit where we're breaking promise after promise after promise? Well, no. But there will always be times that we make a promise and then something changes what we desire to take place. But we see a much different nature of the promises of Almighty God because he is infinite, because he is eternal, because he never changes. And we see multiple promises here in the scriptures from verse 16 all the way through the end of this chapter. And I just want to look at a number of them tonight, and I trust encourage each and every believer with these final lessons from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've had a gentleman that influenced my life greatly down through the years, and whenever he would preach, he would tell people to mark the letter P right next to passages of Scripture where God made a promise to his children. And he had done that in his Bible, and he had demonstrated through the Scriptures how many times God made promises to his children. And perhaps you'd do something like that tonight as you're sitting there in your living room and you're able to contemplate these promises. If you're in the habit of taking notes in your Bible or making highlights in your Bible, perhaps you'd mark down next to some of these verses the very nature of the promises of God. Would you notice number one with me tonight? The promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit. As this passage is full of promises, we begin with this very first promise in verse number 16, the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The very first promise that is made by Almighty God is that of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says that as the Savior went away, he was going to send a comforter. The Greek terminology here is that of a paraclete, one who would come alongside of. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit has done. The Holy Spirit has come alongside of Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the believer. He's come alongside us to encourage and to help and to sustain and to, of course, indwell. There's a significant difference between the Old Testament economy as it relates to the Holy Spirit, and we're somewhat familiar with that, and I'll consider it in just a moment, but we're also familiar with what the New Testament says about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament economy, we look to Old Testament saints such as Saul and Samson, and we find at different stages of their life and different events that the Word of God says that the Spirit came upon them, or the Spirit departed from them. And so we see that in the book of Judges, as that book is authored and details the nature of these men and women that cared for the nation of Israel. And we find in Samson's life in chapter 13 of Judges, and chapters 15 and 16, that the Spirit came upon Samson, and he acted in the power of the Spirit of God. But then we come to the end of his story, and in Judges chapter 16, the Bible says, he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And so we find in the Old Testament economy, life of Saul, life of Samson, life of other believers, that the Spirit came upon men and women, and the Spirit departed from them. The Lord Jesus Christ, though, tells us here in this passage that for the New Testament believer, the Holy Spirit of God would be an ever-abiding presence in the life of the believer. And this is an instantaneous transaction when someone puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not as though I receive the Holy Spirit when I'm baptized in the baptismal waters. It's not as though I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to come at some point in time after salvation. No, the moment that I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" So for you and I that have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we invited him to come into our heart and to save us from our sins. The Bible says that our bodies are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is promised to us right here in John chapter 14. Jesus says to the disciples that I will send you a comforter. And that comforter will come alongside of the truth that I've given to you and that I've taught you. And so the first promise that we see here in the passage is that of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Would you notice number two with me? It's down in verse number 19. Number one, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, we have the promise of our eternal life. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He did not go into a sleep-induced coma. He did not temporarily swoon, as some have said, in the graveside there. No, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. He gave up his life willingly to pay the price for our sins. And the Bible says they took him down from that cross and he was dead. They buried him there in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, but the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came out alive. And the Bible tells us that he was seen by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And they are eyewitnesses, and as the Bible says it in the book of Acts, they were eyewitnesses of the risen Savior. And Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus lives today. And the Bible tells us here in this promise, as I live, so will ye live. The Bible says there again, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. The Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 46, that these shall go away into everlasting punishment, speaking of those that were unbelievers, but the righteous into life eternal. John chapter 3 and verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 10 and verse number 28, again we see this wording, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You see, we serve an eternal God, and our eternal God has promised to each one of us an eternity in heaven. You and I will pass from this life either by way of breathing our last breath here on this earth and entering heaven by what we would refer to as death, or perhaps the rapture will take place and we will cast off this tabernacle and we will be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. Either way, my friend, in Christ we have been promised eternal life. Eternal life. Number one, the promise of the Holy Spirit of God, the promise of his indwelling presence. Number two, we have the promise of eternal life. Number three, would you notice this with me tonight? In verse number 20, the Bible gives us a third promise. It is the promise of Christ's presence. The Bible says, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. We have the promise of the presence of Almighty God with us each step of the way. John chapter 14, look at verse number 25. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. It is very significant to be mindful of what it was like for the disciples at this time. Again, think with me for a moment. They had been called out by Christ. They had turned away from their normal paths of income that they might be with Christ for these 3.5 years. And the Lord Jesus Christ is demonstrating to them in these words, I'm present with you. You see me now. But understand, in that time frame in which you do not visibly see me, I am still present with you. I'm still present with you. What a wonderful verse that we have recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For that young person that at some point in time has been nervous about going into a darkened house or a darkened room. They're waiting for someone to turn the lights on to prepare them and to illuminate the way. And perhaps they've said to their dad or mom, please come go with me. Perhaps you have a basement in your house and you've said to your child at one time or another, I want you to go down to the basement and go in the pantry in the basement and bring up some jar of food or some jar of or item of food that you're going to be using. And they'll say something like this, please go with me. And then it's possible that in making that statement, they might even go further and say, I'm scared. Well, you know, there would come a time where the disciples would face some very daunting things. The disciples were going to face some very daunting people. They were going to face some very daunting challenges. And it's interesting to note that when you and I arrive in the book of Acts and we see the boldness of men like Peter and John, it's interesting that the crowd around them said, these men have been with Jesus. They were willing to face the Sanhedrin because they knew that Christ was with them. They were willing to face prison because they knew that Christ was with them. They were willing to face the jailer. They were willing to face the executioner. They were willing to face all of these things. Why? Because they knew Jesus was with them every step of the way. You have my presence with you in each step. We're living in what I believe to be one of the most difficult trials that I've seen in my lifetime. And our nation, we would agree, is under duress in so many different aspects. But you know, the Lord has not departed one of his saints. The Lord has not departed one family that knows him as their Savior. The Lord has not departed from the midst of our church, though we may not meet physically together. The Bible tells us that you and I have his abiding presence. I don't need to fear what man can do unto me. I don't need to fear what the next steps may hold. There are many things that can affect us physically. There are many things that can affect us spiritually. There are many things that can affect us emotionally. There are many that are under great duress because of the nature of their employment, because of the things that they're having to do, perhaps the extra hours that they're having to work. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us each step of the way. And he gives us this great promise and says to us, I am in you. He's present with us each step. Number one, we have the promise of the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we have the promise of eternal life. The believer may see death one time, but for the believer, as the Bible says in Psalm 23, it is but a shadow. The believer passes from this life into the next. The believer breathes his last breath here and is then immediately in the presence of God. We are blessed with the promise of eternal life. We are blessed here on this earth with the promise of his presence. And if I could just translate that to heaven, when you and I arrive home in heaven, we are blessed with his eternal presence. There will never be a time where we are out of the presence of our dear Savior. But then not only the items that I've mentioned, these three things, but then number four, would you notice verse number 21 with me? We have the promise of the love of the Father. The Bible says in verse number 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The promise of the love of the Father. Boy, this is a wonderful promise. Tragically, there are many in our world today that believe that no one loves them. Tragically, in our world today, the number one reason for death is the matter of suicide. And no doubt many of those people that choose to take their own life come to that point in their life where they think this to themselves, nobody loves me. But you know, there is an heavenly Father that loved man so much that he gave his very best. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ his very best gift, his only begotten Son. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ because he loved you and he loved me. And Jesus promises the love of the Father. Now, it is a wonderful twofold matter in this issue of the love of the Father. Jeremiah 31 in verse number 3, the Bible says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. 1 John chapter 3 in verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Well, I am so thankful that the love of the Father is not feelings-based. I am so glad that the love of the Father does not change by virtue of my waywardness or my sin. God loves me. Boy, in a day in which love is so much trodden down under the foot of men, and people use that word flippantly, our Heavenly Father says, I love you. And he tells us that that love is of old, and that that love is of such a manner that we have been so blessed to have an infinite God demonstrate his love to us. I perhaps would think, and maybe you would think as well, that no one could love another person as much as they love their spouse or their children or their grandchildren. But the greatest love of all is the love of the Father for his children. And we have this promise tonight. God loves you. The promise of the love of the Father. Would you notice one more with me tonight? We have the promise of the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. We have the promise from Almighty God of eternal life. We have the promise of his presence. We have the promise of the love of the Father. And then tonight, verse number 27, we have the promise of God's peace. Look what the Word of God says. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. What a great statement. Remember back to the first verse of this chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. There are all kinds of people that could claim that they have power to bring peace. But there is one in heaven that does have the power to bring peace, and it is God our Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ leaves us again with a twofold perspective on peace. Number one, we have peace with God because we are no longer a foe. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8 and verse number 44 that before salvation, we were in the family of Satan and we were the enemy of God. But in Christ, we've been adopted into a new family. And because we've been adopted into this family through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now can have peace with God. We're no longer an enemy. We not only have the peace with God, but secondly, we have peace, the peace of God. He is our Father. We have the peace of God. He is our Father. Now, it would be easy for us to look around the world today and to allow our hearts to be troubled by the stats and the circumstances that we find in 24/7 news cycles. But for the believer, our lives are stayed on the Heavenly Father. And Jesus makes very clear that having peace with God and having the peace of God brings great stability to the life. If you would, take your Bibles and go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to close with another passage tonight. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and I believe he connects some things in this passage as it relates to the peace with God and the peace of God. What we were before Christ and what we are in Christ. And again, as we did on Sunday morning, it's possible in your notes or in your own Bible, if you're in the habit of marking things, you might mark next to this passage the verse there in John chapter 14 in verse number 27 where Christ says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Read these verses with me in Ephesians chapter 2. And just think about this, peace with God and having the peace of God. As I read these verses tonight, would you follow along with me, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I hope in this passage you can see the nature of what we were before we made peace with God. And I hope in this passage your heart will take joy, and it will take great contentment in the peace that only God can supply. Perhaps the world would seek to move us. Perhaps the world would seek to shake our faith. But our faith is on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the peace of Almighty God that he has given to us who know him as our Father. In just a moment, I'm going to close in a word of prayer, but I'd like to challenge you tonight to think on the promises of God. And perhaps you'd go around the room or go around to different family members in the next few moments and just say, why don't you give testimony as to the promise of God that means the most to you and how you've seen that promise fulfilled in your life. We've covered about five tonight. The promise of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the promise of Christ's presence, the promise of eternal life, the promise of the love of the Heavenly Father, the promise of peace. There are so many more that you might go to, and so many different ways that you might see these things lived out in the lives of Bible characters. But perhaps you take some time as a family and just reflect on these promises tonight as Christ is wrapping up these final lessons before the cross. He makes certain promises to the disciples. And the difference between his promises and my promises, he's an infinite God, and he's never failed his promises one time. Perhaps tonight you'd spend some time in prayer, again as a family, just thanking God for the promises that he has given to us. Someone has well said, you can't break God's promises by leaning on them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these promises from John chapter 14. Each one of them should bring great comfort to the folks tonight. And what a tremendous chapter of the Word of God to see the Son of God refer so much to the Father, and now to bring into the ingredients of the life of the believer the nature of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we have a triune God that is invested in the child of God. And I'm so thankful for the Father. I'm so thankful for the Son. And I'm so thankful for the Spirit. And perhaps tonight as we go around the room and just reflect as a family on these different things, boy, I pray that each one would see the promises of God fulfilled in their lives. Would you encourage each one tonight? Lord, we don't know exactly how long the current circumstances will affect both our nation and our church and our families. But we do know this. God is still on the throne, and he will keep his promises. Would you bless our folks tonight? We look forward to that time when we are able to meet once again together. We pray that you bless and watch over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.